Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkin.
Afternoons on the Score.
Hey, Danny, go to Bob and Downers Grove on line two. He quit the Bears 15 years ago. He's very angry.
Okay, well, let's see if this makes any sense. What's up, Bob?
Hello. What is your name? Bob, get the hell away.
How you guys doing, first of all, whatever?
Right.
I can prove that I quit the Bears in 2005. I'm now a Packers fan. The reason I did, because they deliberately did not win that Super Bowl. They told Lovie Smith in no uncertain terms that whatever happened, they didn't care as long as Thomas Jones was not the Super Bowl MVP. They were getting rid of Thomas Jones the next day for nothing because they drafted Cedric Benson. The original plan was to run them both and split the carries. Benson went out. They had no choice but to go with Rex Grossman. They should have rolled the Colts.
Thomas Jones dancing around into the secondary inside the 40, 52 yards.
The next series, an interception, and they don't give the ball to Thomas Jones at all. He should have been the Super Bowl MVP, and they deliberately told them not to do it.
My superpowers, being honest, I've extrapolated this out. I'll eat my neighbors.
Do you have any proof?
Yeah, I got George McCaskey to admit it to me. What are you talking about, proof?
Y'all got to start thinking on a different level like the CIA does. Now, we're through the looking glass here, people. White is black, and black is white.
They could not make Thomas Jones the Super Bowl MVP because they would look like the morons that they are.
Well, so why are you mad today?
Oh, I don't know. I just finally get to get this story out on the radio.
Okay, what's your username on QAnon, Bob?
No. Give me a break, QAnon. Donald Trump. Oh, sorry.
And it was all a big hoax.
Oh. All right. We've reached a place of agreement.
This is a conspiracy. That's what this is. One big damn conspiracy.
The Bears win Super Bowl 41.
And everyone's in on it.
Thomas Jones, you have been named the game's most valuable player.
How you guys doing, first of all, whatever?
Right.
You're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Welcome back in to the Danny Parkin Show. Mark Grody is in. That was the final call of the season. Jeff Joniak, WBBM. And kind enough to join us now on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park is the chairman of the Chicago Bears. Got a few minutes for us. We're thrilled to have him on the show. George McCaskey with us on the Score. George, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
Good, Danny. How are you doing? Hi, Mark.
Hey, George. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. We genuinely appreciate you coming on today, and we appreciate the tour of your office as well, which we can get to later. But do you, I want to start off with the events of yesterday and ask you directly, do you have any regrets either in what you said or decisions you made given the reaction to the press conference yesterday, which was, and I'll use our word, it was a tepid reaction?
Yeah, that's Danny. That's one of Mark's and my favorite words. I would say maybe a little warmer than tepid, and we understand that. We understand that no matter what we said, we weren't going to please everybody. If we had taken a back up the truck approach, there would be some people, I'm sure, who would say, "Well, you didn't give them an adequate opportunity, or maybe you should have kept this guy instead of this guy." So we knew that it wasn't going to be a universally popular decision by any means. And we also know that we really don't have an opportunity to even come close to demonstrating that we made the right decision until maybe as late as September, hopefully by starting the season off with some wins.
George, I wanted to talk to you about who was there speaking, and Ted Phillips specifically, because we get a lot of confusion, and you even addressed it yesterday. Some people think he meddles in football operations, and that couldn't be further from the truth, were your words. But it also, he's meeting with Ryan Pace, he's meeting with Matt Nagy during the season and after. So what is his role in the decision on whether or not the coach and the GM keep their jobs?
The way we do it is the president and CEO and the chairman make those determinations in consultation with ownership and the board of directors.
Would you ever consider a president of football operations, or at least even a consultant who has a football background, to help you with that, as opposed to the buck stopping with you and Ted, who are not quote unquote football people?
Well, as far as the consultant, I mean, we had that, which resulted in the hiring of Ryan. We had Ernie Accorsi. The guy's got Hall of Fame credentials, been successful with two teams, and did a great job, first of all, establishing credibility for us in the interview room, and secondly, guiding us through the process and helping with the selection. I've heard a lot about, you need a quote-unquote football guy, a czar, a president of football operations, whatever. In our structure, the football guy is the general manager. And even if you had a president of football operations, that person at some point would have to be reporting to what you described, Danny, as a non-football person. So to me, it's not so much the structure as it is the people. We think we've got the right people. We understand not everybody agrees with that, but we think we do.
But I guess in terms of if Ryan is telling you fill in the blank player is doing his job in this way, right? I haven't been coached on how to study film, and you haven't, and Ted hasn't. So how do you know if you don't have a football person in the room that they are the right people for the job?
Well, the football person in the room is the general manager. So we're asking questions. We want to make sure that there's thorough analysis, that there's vigorous discussion before decisions are made. But we don't make those decisions ourselves.
Hey, George, I wanted to ask you about the six-game losing streak this year. It was obviously hard on anybody. The toughest stretch of the season, goes without saying. Why was that presented as a positive yesterday during the press conference?
Well, there's very little positive about a six-game losing streak. I think I was careful to say, nobody wants that. The thing that impressed me was how our team reacted, that they stuck together, that they didn't point fingers, that they didn't cast blame, and that they played their butts off for this coach. That was a big factor in my assessment of the situation. But, yeah, we got to avoid six-game losing streaks. I mean, if you look at the history of the modern playoff system, those are killers. We were only the third team in the quote-unquote modern era to qualify for the playoffs that had a six-game losing streak. And the only reason we did that is we qualified for the lowest possible seed. So we've got to do better. We've got to avoid those situations. The year prior was a four-game losing streak. So we got to stack wins.
When you talk about wins and losses, that's obviously how Matt and Ryan will ultimately be judged. But I am wondering if Ted Phillips is in the room with that type of decision-making power or influence, however you want to put it, and you've made the playoffs six times in his 22 years as team president, How is he judged and evaluated?
Every employee is judged in that context at the end of the season. And the way I look at it is considering their entire body of work, should the employment relationship continue? Ted's performance is reviewed by the chairman and ownership and the board of directors. And Ted has done an outstanding job for us. And getting us through this pandemic is just another example of it. He's accessible. He communicates well. He has great organizational skills. He requires much of people, but they know that they can also come to him if they have a problem too. Our family has the utmost faith in him and very grateful for the job that he's done in his time with the Bears.
Hey, George, as it pertains to the contract lengths for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I respect that you guys are, at this point, you're not going to tell us what the lengths are, unless you decided today that you would like to. But I guess my question is, why is that not being revealed?
Well, thank you for the invitation to, to change our minds. But I think all three of them made the point yesterday that it's not about the contracts, that if things work out, the contracts will take care of themselves. And that's the approach we're taking going forward.
So you said that there's confidence that they're going to be able to deliver better quarterback production, as we're joined by the chairman of the Bears, McCaskey, here on the Danny Parkin Show with Mark Grody. And the reason why I think it's relevant is lame duck general managers are very rare in the NFL, at least among the teams where their contract information is public, because you wouldn't want a GM to like hemorrhage cap space in the future to save his job in a win now season, or trade future draft picks in order to save his job in a win now season. So I think that's why it's relevant for fans. So I guess my question is, how active is Ryan Pace going to be allowed to be in order to go all in what seems like a must win season in 2021?
Well, first of all, I would quibble with your terminology, since we're so much in the political realm these days. Lame duck in the political realm means somebody who is out the door on a date certain. And that's not what we're talking about here, but I thought Ryan addressed it very well. He's always making decisions that are in the best interest of the Chicago Bears. And that's one thing that attracted to us to him as a GM candidate from the very start.
So if he wanted to trade a future first round pick to move up in this draft, that's something that he's the football guy. He would have the discretion. He has the ability to do that this offseason.
He's the football guy. He makes the football decisions. Mm-hmm.
So I did want to talk to you more about, you guys talked a lot about accountability yesterday. And I think people think, oh, the only way to be accountable is to be fired. But obviously that's not true. You guys have meetings and evaluations and all of that. But about quarterback specifically, if Ryan Pace is going to be able to draft a quarterback, add a quarterback, it's going to be his decision. And the last time he drafted a quarterback was obviously Mitch Trubisky. And not only did it not work in terms of he didn't get the pick right, the process, George, that he arrived at that pick through reporting has been revealed to be like deeply flawed. He did not meet with Deshaun Watson in the same way that he met with Pat Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky. He didn't bring him in for a one-on-one interview. He didn't take him out to dinner in the same way that he did those other guys. So I guess I'm wondering, in terms of accountability and a mistake that was made, has that been acknowledged in conversations with Ryan that there were flaws in his evaluation process for the 2018 draft?
Well, we talked about all of the things that went into Ryan's performance over the course of his 6 years with us. You mentioned that it's been widely reported the process was flawed. To me, that's somebody's conclusion. Just because you don't take somebody to dinner doesn't mean, in my opinion, that you've made a complete evaluation of that person. And sometimes a lot of those things are done for strategic purposes. You know, you hear all manner of stories, especially the closer we get to the draft, of intrigue and, trial balloons and trying to send somebody down the wrong track. So you know, it's a lot goes into that. And in my opinion, the football guy has to be given wide latitude to carry out his plan the way he thinks best.
George, last question that I have for you. Go ahead, Danny. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to follow up quickly, Grody. Sorry. So you were satisfied with the due diligence that was done on Deshaun Watson in the 2017 draft?
Ryan kept me advised of his plan going into the draft all along the way.
George, is next year a must-win season for the Bears?
I think every year is a must-win season for the Bears, but it's not a situation where we're going to say, well, unless we make the playoffs, we're going to make a change, or unless we win X number of games, we're going to make a change. We don't know what's going to happen. We just, in the last season, had what the commissioner described as a season unlike any of the previous 100. So we don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what the situation is going to be with injuries. Ted described it as improvement. I described it as progress. To me, the words are much the same. We've got to get better.
You were very proud of the culture that was on display within this organization. It was something that you and Ted and Ryan talked about many times. But I just found it interesting because after the last game of the season, Mitch Trubisky said, quote, there's a lot of things we need to do better, a lot of things we need to change, and a lot of that is culture, what we accept and what we don't. So is it safe to say you disagree with Mitch's characterization of the culture?
I didn't see that quote, and I haven't talked to Mitch since well before Sunday. I haven't even been in the – yesterday was my first day in the building in more than a month. So I'll say this about Mitch. He's an outstanding young man. His teammates love him. He works his butt off. He loves the game of football. He's got a passion for it. And I can speak more to off the field. Off the field, he was outstanding as a representative of the Chicago Bears.
Got a Super Bowl pick for us, George, before we let you go? I know you only have a few minutes here, so thank you.
I don't know about the Super Bowl, but all I can say in closing is go Rams.
I figured you might throw that one in. Well, George, listen, I will say this. I appreciate you giving us the time. I think fans love when they hear from owners and GMs, and I know Ryan like basically doesn't speak during the season, but accessibility and transparency is something that Bears fans really appreciate. So I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Appreciate it, Danny. Thank you, Mark.
George, thank you. I want to just repeat what Danny said. Thanks for coming on, giving us a little bit of time, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the road here.
Okay, thank you both.
That was George McCaskey with us earlier today. Plenty of people had all sorts of reaction to it. I'm sure that's still the same if you're just hearing it now for the first time. And if someone said on the text line, Park, it's a nice little shot there about Ryan Pace not speaking. I mean, it's not a veiled shot. It's I know what they think. Ryan Pace thinks if he speaks during the season that he's undercutting Matt Nagy, that Matt Nagy is in charge of the week-to-week, game-to-game stuff, and Ryan Pace is more in charge of the macro stuff. But, and I know you would say he speaks on WBBM on the pregame show, but in a real setting, you know what I mean? In a talk to the beat reporters, talk to the newspaper, talk to unaffiliated radio, whatever the case may be. He doesn't have to do it every week. You don't want it to be Jerry Jones, so just completely, you know, usurping the power of everybody else all the time. But during the bye, get a 15-20-minute press conference with the general manager during the bye week of the season? I feel like that's a totally reasonable thing to have him check in publicly and face a little bit of accountability, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I know from my years covering the Cubs doing pre and post for 3 years that the philosophy of Cubs management was to, and obviously completely different sport and season and number of games, but their philosophy was we'll speak on the first game of every homestand, whether it was going to be Theo Epstein or Jed Hoyer, somebody from management was going to speak and address. So I think proportionally speaking, yeah, I think probably once a month, maybe one extra time during the season just to satiate everybody and for nothing else for public relations purposes.
Yeah, and, you know, the the thing with Deshaun Watson blows my mind. There's no competitive advantage that you had of not meeting with him. You had the first crack at a quarterback. You got to pick whoever you wanted. So you didn't need to throw anybody off the scent. And so I just, unless Ryan Pace can give me a great explanation, like, he's the only guy I could ask. It's not fair to ask Matt Nagy. He wasn't here when the drafting happened of him. And so I can ask Ryan Pace, but he doesn't come on. And then I can ask George McCaskey. So, I don't know. I just think it matters so much, man, because this GM, he still has the power. Clearly. You heard it. He's the top football guy. That's how their structure is set up. Well, so there's no checks and balances on the top football guy until they ultimately fire him. But that means he gets to pick a quarterback this offseason. And so I just want to know that he learned something from how he messed it up the last time.
And I do believe that it's – I mean, it has to be must-win next year for the Bears. And George doesn't want it. I mean, he was – when I asked that question, he gave me the answer I was actually looking for, because in asking that question, I wanted to know if that meant there would be change if it wasn't a winning season, however they defined that. He said that that's not the case, that if they have a losing season or a non-playoff season, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to go and blow the whole thing up, that they'll look at it close. But I would have to think, I guess, and there are degrees of bad within seasons. Again, if it's a 3 or 4 win season, then all bets are off, you know, depending on what happens. If it's 7-9 or 8-8, then I guess we'll see.
I got a question for you about this word collaboration. It kind of relates to the Bears where I'm going. It's next on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Station.
And I think as I reflect back, what I'm
And you're going to hear this word a lot today because it's true. Collaboration.
Collaboration will result in the right decisions for the Bears. As I said, the leadership, the collaboration, the collaboration.
There's conviction and there's collaboration. So when you look at the whole product and the collaboration.
Hey guys, sticking with collaboration.
I've told you about the collaboration.
Collaboration was the word of the day yesterday with the Bears, Mark Grody. And I like when you and I collaborate during Bears reports, when you sit in. It's fun. It's easy. It's free-flowing. You're one of my favorite people at the Score to work with and collaborate with. But I was thinking of bad collaborations. I know that's normally a word that's associated with music, but I can't really speak to that. But
right, Vanilla Ice, right. Stop collaborating.
Stop collaborating. Listen, yeah. I suspect.
With a brand new invention.
That's what the next line was. Thanks.
Roland.
Something.
Ragtop down.
Grabs a hold of me tightly.
Ragtop down.
5 point. 5 point. Rolling on my 5 point. Oh, with a ragtop down. Bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam, bam. Well, what's your all-time bad collaboration then? Music, film, anywhere. Because I'll tell you which one I go to.
Yeah, go ahead, because I was not prepared for this question, so please.
Do you ever see the movie Monuments Men?
Yeah.
Monuments Men was a World War II movie that had George Clooney, Matt Damon, John Goodman, and Bill Murray in it. I'm like, this movie is going to be the greatest film of my life. I love all of those people, and Murray and Goodman and Damon are like three of my top four or five. Like, I was pumped for Monuments Men. And then you got the Clooney historian, World War II. You got everything going on here. Then I saw it was PG-13. I was like, can you make a good World War II movie and not have it be rated R? But doesn't matter. I'm seeing it opening day. Not only did I see it opening day, I saw it on Steph's birthday. I pushed hard for us to go see this movie on her birthday.
Wow.
And of course
we
went.
Did.
Yeah. And we went and saw that movie. And it's one of the worst things I've ever seen. Oh. It's unbelievably bad. And so I didn't even know that it was possible for Damon, Goodman, and Clooney and Murray to collaborate on something so terrible. But in this analogy, they would be Pace, Nagy, George, and Ted.
So even those characters you couldn't get into, even though you like those guys so much, even the individual characters sucked.
Yeah, it's the type of thing I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that we were in that type of situation where I'm watching this movie and I'm like, oh man, this is her birthday, and this is objectively bad, and now I'm going to have to really step it up on this dinner after we went to that movie, because it was bad. It was bad. Do you have one? Do you have an all-time bad collaboration?
Man.
Shane, Tanny, while Grody thinks.
I've got...
Yeah.
Grody, do you want to go? I've got two.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm struggling with this one.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Song-wise, Over and Over, Nelly and Tim McGraw. Absolutely disgusting combination of people to do a song together. And then movie-wise, I'm going to give you the five actors in the movie... And you tell me what movie it was. Tim Allen, John Travolta, Martin Lawrence, William H. Macy, Ray Liotta. What movie am I talking about?
I don't know, but I want to see
great,
it, right?
It's got to be so good if all those people
are
in it. Yeah,
right.
Tim Allen, John Travolta, and not Tim Allen over at WSSP in Milwaukee, new afternoon show with Rami Malek, as Meeks would say. Tim Allen, John Travolta, Martin Lawrence, William H. Macy, and Ray Liotta.
I don't know.
Well, it's Wild Hogs, Danny. It's a bunch of friends who buy motorcycles together and go on a cross-country trip. Should have been awesome.
Wild Hogs, yeah.
Got like a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, how have I not seen that film is the question.
It's so bad.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's horrible.
That's not great. I probably will still check it out, though, because it sounds like it might be so bad it's good. Is it one of those?
No. It's so bad it's good with a monster cast is like Grown Ups 1 and 2. That's so bad it's good because of the cast. This should be so bad it's good because of the cast, but it's not.
Okay. Tanny, where do you go to with all-time bad collaboration?
Wild Hogs is no Las Vegas. Michael Douglas, Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Kline,
Yeah, Mary Steenburgen. Yeah, it's no Wild Hogs, that's for sure. But musically, I always think of one of the just most horrendous things you could ever feast your eyes and ears on, the Accidental Racist song, Brad Paisley and LL Cool J.
That's like a famously bad idea in music. Like I've heard that thing referenced like three times on this station in the last month, I feel like.
Yeah, Lawrence was talking about it the other day, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, it was in transition. Lawrence was telling Dan.
Yeah.
That's when I take my smoke break, so I would not have heard that.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. Something that just clearly trying to capitalize, you know, in a moment of unrest, something that didn't have to be done. Like, we get it, all right? You know, it just shouldn't be.
Yeah.
All right, I got one.
Oh, you got one. Okay, good. I got one for you.
I got one. Yeah, I appreciate the stalling. The one of the only shows I've like stopped binge watching in the middle of it, or maybe like three episodes in recently, and I thought it would be good because it's Kiefer Sutherland and he does these shows very well typically, but Designated Survivor. I don't know if any of you guys have watched that, but the premise is so good. Like, everybody dies except for him, and they have to save him, and he becomes in charge. And it was just it was too toned down. I think it was on like one of the real networks, I think, maybe. And I was so used to HBO shows and Netflix shows that it didn't work. So I'm going to go Designated Survivor.
Grody, I have a theory on why people are now, they're getting people to come back around to that show. They put it on Netflix. America loves sex, right? The preview picture on Netflix as you're scrolling through is a guy like having sex with a woman up against a desk for Designated Survivor. That's how they're getting people to come back.
It could be so good. Like, I love the premise, everything about it, but it's too safe, I guess. It's too watered down. It's too Sunday night-ish, if you will. So.
Oh, and I will.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know you will.
Yeah. Do you guys ever see the Will Ferrell, Kevin Hart movie, Get Hard?
Yeah.
Pass it up every time I see it as a choice. I just can't do it.
It's Will Ferrell, hilarious. Kevin Hart, hilarious, successful stand-up. Both of them may have made a ton of super successful movies. They get together, should be great. Awful collaboration.
Will Ferrell does that a lot. Daddy's Home 2, absolutely horrible. Only movie, I think I've talked about it here, only movie I've ever walked out of the theater on. The first one was great, but the second one, the Christmas one, was brutal. I paid $13 to go see that movie.
They made a second Daddy's Home?
Yeah, with Kelsey Grammer. Right?
Or was it John Lithgow?
Both of them. They're both of their dads.
And Mel Gibson, right? Or something.
Oh, Mel Gibson. Yeah, John Lithgow and Mel Gibson. Yeah, as their dads. Oh,
you walked out, so you forgot.
Yeah, I walked out. It was that bad. Because I'm a huge fan of What's-Her-Face.
It's an no.
Yeah.
What is an no?
It's just no. Like, you look at it and you do that in a very, like, that's what I did with the Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell movie when I saw it. Every time I see it, I'm like, oh, what's this? No. Because it just doesn't look good. That's what I say to myself.
It's not good.
I bet. Right.
But it should be. Those two people get together. I feel like it should be a funny movie. No?
Something about that. Like, I was able to foresee.
You just thought it was oil and water from the beginning.
Yeah, something about it. Right. And you're right. They're both individually super talented, funny guys. But when I saw that combination and I read what it was, no.
Okay. You hit it with the no. And here's the thing. We're talking about super talented people who collaborated and it didn't just work. The Bears are just collaborating with Ted, George, Ryan, and Matt. Like, you know what I mean? It's not anything. No, none of them have proven to be exemplary at their jobs at this point. And so it's a very insular thing. It's a very small circle. And it, without checks and balances, man, it's risky. And so that's why with George, and we talked to him about it, we pressed him on it, but like, he just believes in how they have it structured. And he doesn't believe in changing the structure because he believes in the people. But if you think about it, like, his board of directors are his family members, and his president is his dude who's made him a ton of money but is not a quote-unquote football person. And then the top football person who they fire every so often, right? Emery, Jerry Angelo, we know that the Bears fire coaches. The Bears fire GMs. It's not like those guys have jobs for life. It's not the White Sox where Kenny Williams is employed for forever. Like, they'll get fired eventually, but it does feel like it's just history repeating itself with them.
Yeah, and they haven't had, like, in the modern recent history, they haven't had a lot of general managers. Like, Jerry Angelo was what, there for 11 years, I think? And prior to him, they didn't have a GM. They had Mark Hatley, who was I believe his title was director of player personnel. So they then went to the general manager model with Jerry Angelo. That was a decade plus, I think. And then there was Phil Emery, and now we have Ryan Pace. So you say that they don't keep them, or they haven't had them a lot in recent history. So, you know, they would like to, as you said before, run their organization similar to the Pittsburgh Steelers, where you keep the same people in the same spots. I also think that there's a part of this. Dave Wann said when he was on, he talked about the idea that they want to hire good people, and they want that family feeling within their organization. I think some of this goes back to all the way back to Mike Ditka, when Ditka had complete control of the organization, and he didn't get along with Michael McCaskey at the time. And I think at that point, the McCaskeys probably made up their mind they were never going to go that route again, where somebody has a stronger personality in a subordinate position than anybody else. And that's why you started to see, like, not just good football people, but good people, like Dave Wannstedt. Wannstedt was the next guy after Dick, and Wannstedt was a star candidate for that job. Make no mistake about it, but he's also a good dude. Same thing with Dick Geron, even Mark Trestman, John Fox, you know, and then now here we have Matt Nagy. So I think part of it is the scar that Ditka left, even as successful as they were back then.
He's Mark Grody. We like to end the show with people's questions. So text them and Twitch them. 312-644-6767 is our text line. We end the show with your questions next on The Score.
I respect the question, and I totally get why you're asking it, but...
So we like to end the show with your questions. Mark Grody in on the Danny Parkin Show. It is official, by the way. Urban Meyer is going to be the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they're going to get Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer, and they've got 10 other draft picks other than Trevor Lawrence and about $100 million in cap space. That is going to be a very interesting team starting as early as next season. But Shane, what kind of questions we got today?
Okay, first one, my favorite one from a texter, and that usually doesn't happen. Does Grody know what collaborate means? Who did Kiefer Sutherland collaborate with in Designated Survivor?
Well, I thought, like, what happened was the question evolved or devolved in my brain to shows or movies we didn't like. So it's a fair question. I do know what collaborate means, but I also accept and realize that I was not answering in the spirit of the question. Is that okay?
I mean, it's fine, but yeah... Good job
you're
by
right.
that texter. Yeah.
No, that's, no, you're right.
Can
and
you
I'm
revise
sorry,
your
Danny.
Statement, sir?
Yeah. We're always made. We find handcuffs without hate. Can you revise your statement, sir? Unlock me. See, I just revert back to Harrison Ford.
We know.
I screwed up. I'm funny, right?
Hey, Grody, here's a question from me. How would Dave Miska fix the L train in that movie?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, there's not even an L. That's really high up. Oh, I'm going to take these plugs right here. You're going to put them in.
Would you Dave the cat. How's Dave the cat doing?
The Twitch weirdos really want to see your cat for some reason.
Dave the cat is, I think he... Oh, here he is. Here he is. Let's see.
Oh, look.
Can you see Dave the cat? Let's see.
I can. Is that a bong? Hey, Dave the cat.
Can you see him?
Yeah, I could.
Like oh, there. There he is.
Hey, Dave.
I feel like we're watching Cloverfield.
What's that?
Yeah, but then I realized I didn't really care.
I guess I probably could have just picked the cat up. Maybe I'll do that for the rest
of the
show.
Yeah, instead of the computer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Would have made a lot of sense. Cats are portable.
Yeah, they are. This cat's probably a little bit alarmed by the Miska impersonation, though. There's
cat
Dave the
fits
cat.
In well with our audience. Yeah, there
Hello,
is.
Hello, everybody. There's the cat.
Oh, hi. My God. What's your next question, Grody? Or Shane?
Okay, from Wing It 21, why was the audio so different for the McCaskey interview? Danny, care to explain?
Do you care to explain?
So George McCaskey preferred to do the interview over Zoom, did not want to use his phone, his cell phone or home phone or Hallis Hall phone. So we had to try to figure out a way back here to get everybody on Zoom so they could hear each other and still air it through here. But when you're working tech from here and trying to explain to people how to hook up their Zoom calls and how to make everything kind of collaborate with each other.
Right, that Danny's being difficult.
No, it wasn't Danny this time. Just to try to make everything collaborate with each other was a little difficult today. So Danny sounded a little bit different because that's the way we had to do it. So you can blame George McCaskey if you want.
Please don't. Was my audio bad during the interview? Is that accurate?
It wasn't bad. It was just of lesser quality than Grody's.
Is quality good when it sounds like you're in a soup can? That's the question.
It still sounded fine. It was arable. If it wasn't arable, we would have done something else.
Right. No, it sounded good. I listened.
Yeah, it was fine.
That's very frustrating.
Don't let it frustrate you.
It's inevitable. What's the next question?
From Clark and Chicato on the Twitch stream. What's the most difficult part about interviewing George McCaskey?
I mean, that you know they faced 87 minutes of questions yesterday, about half of it was him, and like you want to follow up on the topics of yesterday, but you also want to try to ask new things, and there's a time constraint, and he is going to sidestep what you're doing, and so like if you want to get to other things, so if they tell you it's going to be 10 minutes and you've got six topics that you want to cover, how much time can you spend following up on each of your topics? It's just like a very constrained, impersonal interview situation.
I agree with that, and I will say that's a simple answer for me. I've always had just a friendly, joking around relationship with George McCaskey, like just seeing him and being on the road with the Bears and all that kind of stuff. We just, you know, have little jokes and things, and today had to ask hard questions. So that, to me, that was the most difficult part, having a right turn in the relationship.
Yeah, he understands that though.
No, I think he does. No, I'm not worried. I mean, you're asking what's the toughest part, going from, you know, talking about weight rooms around the NFL to, hey, why was 0-6 an emphasis in the press conference yesterday? So.
Sure. And you're out there on the beat every day. I understand that. But they faced so many tough questions yesterday. Like, and they agreed to come on. They accepted our invitation to come on. Like, it's he knew exactly what he was walking into. Like, we were talking to him a little bit off air before he came on, and he was joking, like, so are we going to be talking about recipes? I've picked up some great ones in quarantine. And he's like, and you said, he's like, yeah, if you want to extend it and give us another 20 minutes of your time, we can get to some BS at the end of it. Like, you know what I mean? He knows. He knows what he's coming on to do. So
right, and he did say, for the record, if we started with the recipes, then maybe we'll extend it. But I can't imagine what our audience would have said had we started with a lemon bars recipe.
Yeah, or what I would have done. And I will say also, we requested Ryan Pace too. I mean, we requested anybody. They gave us George of the four who spoke yesterday. And so I respect. I mean, George is the top guy. He's the owner. So I respect him for stepping forward and doing it. Any other questions, Shane?
As the final question, I would like to eat crow and apologize to anybody who was offended by the way I described what Designated Survivor looked like in the Netflix queue. Apparently, some people were offended. They drive with their kids in the car. So I'll offer an apology.
I don't even hear how you explained it.
Yeah, I didn't explain it poorly. It wasn't inappropriate, but if people are offended, I'll apologize.
I think people were more offended that Mark Grody classified that show as a collaboration.
Got it. Yeah, I was offended too.
I accept
that. Shane, by the way, those are the best
do.
Apologies historically, when you say in your apology that you don't really mean that you're apologizing.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about it, but I will apologize to get that on the record.
So you will just say the words, I'm sorry, but also say that you don't mean them.
Like the episode where Dwight has to apologize and he has to issue a statement of regret. Hold up a piece of paper. I state my regret. Jim says, you did not have that memorized? No, because I did not feel it. I did not feel that apology.
Look, when you do something stupid, or you say something stupid, or you have a bad take, just do what I do. You switch the samples. Just do that. It completely takes people back to, oh, yeah, that's funny. So there you have. Or just do the Patrick Mahomes. That's all you had to do. That person who complained on the text screen about that, if you had done the Pat Mahomes, like, they would have just forgotten about it. Would have gone away.
What do you mean if he would have done the Pat Mahomes? I mean,
Great point.
That doesn't even make, I don't even know what you're talking about.
You're right. You're right. It's a real hotline. It is.
Yeah.
It's
all right,
real,
shut it down.
I know what's happening. Cody Decker's in tomorrow. Thank you, Mark Grody. Bears All Access is coming up next, and then Joe Ostrowski at 7 o'clock. Thank you to George McCaskey. He was on the show today. So was Dave Wanstead. We appreciate them. Thank you to Shane. He produces this thing. Much appreciated, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Mark Grody, my name is Danny Parkins. Oh, and thank you to Connor and Gertsch over on the Twitch stream. Very much appreciate you. This is the Danny Parkins Show on The Score.
In any event, that's it for today. Take care.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.